Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, hello. Are we there, Matt? Are we live? Are we going?
I think we finally are. We're doing it the other way around, for those of you who are wondering what the delay was. If there's a little bit of silence at the beginning of this, we apologize. But welcome to the Mountain West Wire Football Podcast.
I assume, Matt, you hear me, correct?
I do.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. You know what's awesome?
Finally.
When you lose charging and you can't use your correct equipment, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, technical difficulties behind the scenes. Everything's working now, so we should probably just jump into recapping week zero, don't you think? I think we probably should.
Should we just get going, I guess?
Let's do it.
All right, MWR.com, that's our website. We will edit this out. Maybe it'll sound better. Who knows? Week zero football. We did it. Twitter, Facebook, I already said that, Mountain West Wire stuff. But let's get going and talk about week zero, because I guess the way this is going, we're not going to talk too long because I don't know how well this connection will last, right?
Exactly. It seems kind of rickety. We'll power through it because we have an interesting Saturday to recap.
Actually, let's do this, Matt. Can you handle the intros? I'm actually going to call through my cell and not do this route, okay? Can you handle for a minute or two? Give you your week zero winners and losers? All right.
I can do that.
Take it.
All right, so if you haven't gone to MW Wire, you may have missed, you know, the weekend's big winners and losers. I guess we could start by talking about the first game for a little bit, the first conference game of the year, and it was a shocker. You know, I think that, you know, especially nobody on our staff, if you go back and look at our pregame predictions, I think only our Wyoming guy, Jesse, was the only one brave enough to pick Hawaii to win outright. But that's exactly what they did. They, you know, the line moved a couple of points right before kickoff. And apparently there were reasons for that. It came out that I believe it was Ferd Lewis of the Hawaii Star Advertiser had said that Jelani Tavai was not going to be playing in the game. And that was a significant reason why the line moved from 13.5, I think, on Friday all the way to 17. But it didn't matter because Hawaii came out with a 43-34 win.
So you're telling me one linebacker's worth 4.5 points?
Well, when you're Jelani Tavai, of course you are.
I'm just saying, that's a lot for any linebacker. I'm back, Jeremy's here. Hopefully it sounds better, but that 4 points for one linebacker, that's an interesting move there.
But, you know, obviously looking back at the game, the story of the day was, you know, defense optional anyway.
Exactly. So you take care of this game. Start going. So what do you like about this game then? It's Hawaii, good old run and shoot, the read option, and Cole McDonald's a stud for now.
I mean, the story of the game is, I think the run and shoot looked a lot better than anybody would have anticipated. And, you know, Cole McDonald obviously was the big story of the game, not only for his arm, you know, he did put up 418 yards, but, you know, one of the things that I had written about in my preview of this game from Hawaii's point of view was that they needed to establish a running game too. And between the three guys that they have back there, McDonald, as well as, you know, Freddie Holly and Dayton Furuta, you know, 36 carries, 199 yards between them. That's 5.5 yards per carry. That was huge for them. You know, just the ability to, for McDonald to use his legs, which we kind of knew he had that ability coming into this game, but, you know, It seemed like he was running past Colorado State's front line, you know, every other play, or he was, you know, killing them with shovel passes. You know, obviously the big story of the day was, you know, Cedric Bird and John Rasua combining for about 300 yards between them. But just as critical to the keeping the offense moving were those shovel passes. You know, Freddie Holly only caught 2 passes, but he had 38 yards, you know. You know, Dayton Furuta had 22 yards through the air on a couple of those passes. So they did just about everything right on the offensive end, you know, whether it was the short game or whether it was going off over the top. It seemed like they had everything working pretty much nonstop throughout this game.
You know what I love? I love the shovel pass so much. It reminds me of being a University of Utah guy, 0-4, Alex Smith giving it to Marty Johnson, shovel pass up the middle for like 40 yards. That's like one of my most favorite plays in football, but never gets done too often. But yeah, you're right. This offense, like, they're running whatever Hawaii was going to do on the ground game. We assumed it wouldn't be their primary goal because it's shotgun, four wideouts, sort of have two backs because McDonald could be like a play act, not play action, but zone read or read option type play. He can have a choice to take it or run it on those running plays. It's kind of two backs, but we knew they wouldn't run a lot. But when they ran extremely well. And honestly, any Rams front four or front seven is not good anyway, so whatever Hawaii was going to run probably would have been pretty good. Probably just a little bit about average, I'd say. Nothing, they wouldn't be beat down running the ball like the way they would. Like, and against a better defense, maybe they've been shut down a little bit, but running against the Colorado State front seven is not that difficult. So whatever Hawaii was going to run, I thought they would probably do okay, and they wildly exceeded that because you saw McDonald running down, jumping pylons, trying to get in the corner, making big plays. They just outclassed the Rams. I chatted with the guys out in Hawaii the day before the game. And so, like, so what's going to happen here? I'm like, well, I was like, well, I don't really know. I kind of figured it would take at least a couple series because we had no clue what to make of this Hawaii offense, right? Because besides running shoot, nobody runs it. Like you mentioned, what, Texas Tech might be the closest team that kind of runs it. Sort of Mike Leach a little bit. Oregon does it kind of, but – I'm like, okay, I told them, it'll probably be close for a little bit, but I expect the Rams to pull away, figure things out, look for a ton of halftime adjustments. It took the Rams, it wasn't adjustments, they were just getting burned everywhere in the field. It was the Colorado State offense that couldn't get anything done until the fourth quarter, essentially. Like, they missed field goals,
exactly
they were
right.
Getting shut down. It's like, that's a big thing. It's like, why is it 16-7, was it 30-7 at one point, I believe, almost?
It was 37-7 with 5 minutes left in the third quarter.
37-7, yeah, okay. But also, it's like, I love Nick Rolovich. I'm not going to kick. I'm going to go for it on fourth down. Who cares? 16-3 with a field goal and two touchdowns and one extra point?
Well, what happened was, you know, the offense kind of went into a lull late in the first half because let's not forget, it was only 10-7 after the first quarter. And as far as, you know, offensive plays and yards gained, they were just about even after the first quarter. But Hawaii strung together some very long, good drives in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden it kind of opened it up where, you know, Colorado State wasn't able to maintain those long drives, even despite the fact that in that first half, even though they went into halftime down 16, like they, you know, they weren't necessarily losing the time of possession battle all that much. It was only, you know, 17 minutes to 12 minutes, and they'd actually outperformed the Warriors on third downs. You know, they were 5-7 by halftime. It's just, you know, they stalled and right there at the end of the half. Wyatt Bryan pushed a field goal wide right. And they just weren't taking care of, you know, they weren't taking care of business when they were getting close to the, you know, when they were getting across midfield. Hawaii was basically, you know, shoving it right down their throats. I think one of the things I mentioned was that, you know, from 2016 to 2017, one of the most significant differences was being able to finish drives. And I forget the exact stat by the end of the game, but I saw someone notice that, you know, the first six times that Hawaii got into the red zone, they got at least 3 points every single time. And when you consider what Colorado State did by contrast, that was one of the most significant differences in this game.
Yeah, there's a couple things, too. Missed field goal, for like you mentioned. And then Mike Bobo, who was at the game coaching from the booth calling plays, went for an odd two-point conversion. Which he already said that's a dumb call. I shouldn't have done it because what were they down 13? I think he went for two. I'm like, okay, 11. I get it. I guess field goal extra and touchdown 2 point, two possession essentially. But you lose by nine. It wouldn't have made that much difference. But had they kicked it, they'd be down 43-35 potentially. Who knows what could have changed into the game? What they're doing those final six plays. Where they went down 60 yards and kind of just – they were down too many points to win. But that would have been 8 points. That would have been a big difference.
Well, one of the other big differences, especially early on, were penalties too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were getting kind of – that was another thing that was really setting them back, especially in the first half, where, you know, even though Hawaii had five penalties in that first half, it was only for 25 yards. By contrast, the Rams had six penalties for 52. So So when they were getting penalized, it was often, you know, the kind of thing that could really kill a drive.
Well, it is. They also were 12 for 20, 120 penalties given up. And even just like Kawhi, like while they put up a ton of hits, they were – here's the thing. The Rams outgained them. The Rams were better on third downs, 10 of 16, which Kawhi is 4 for 12. And it's just a penalty is a big deal. But there's chances they're just too little too late for the Rams offense to figure out how to move against this Kawhi defense. Because I was looking at the numbers, like our buddy Justin Michael, there's somebody trying to troll on Twitter, like, hey, I can't believe this pizza place sponsors you. It's kind of funny because it's his predictions. But then he tags the place advertises on his website. I'm like, dude, you're giving them what they want. They're giving some extra pub by somebody else. Kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, he'll go 250. And I think, was it two touchdowns, I think he said? Curtis Samuels was 34-50, 537, and 5 touchdowns. It's ridiculous. It's like you see what Cole McDonald did, but Carter Samuels was just as good. It just took forever.
And that, I think, is probably the biggest reason why, you know, Rams fans might be tempted to panic. But I would say that it would have been very easy for them to give up once they got down 30. And,
yeah,
you know, let's not forget, this was, you know, a 6-point game with like 2 minutes to go. And, you know, some of that had to do with Colorado State's offense coming to life, especially through the air. You know, you mentioned Carter Samuel.
Preston Williams.
You know, one of the biggest stories of the day, Preston Williams, man. That guy, I think he set a record for a debut by a Colorado State receiver.
Possibly 9 for 188, 2 touchdowns.
But, you know, he was like, you know, the kind of the spearhead for the Rams even being able to begin their comeback, you know. And Olabisi Johnson, you know, even though he ended up playing second fiddle when you look at the stat sheet, you know, both of those guys were well over 100 yards, and they were making big plays, both of them. You know, Curtis Samuels, you know, give him credit. You know, he was standing back there. The Hawaii front four, surprisingly to me, they were putting a lot of pressure on him. Like, even though they didn't actually record any sacks and they only had 2 tackles for loss, it seemed like Curtis Samuels was on the move more often than I think he would have liked to have been. But, you know, that receiving unit is going to be one to watch throughout the year. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you might be tempted to panic, but don't panic. Because as long as the offense can, you know, even if they aren't as hot as they were in the second half of the game, if they can find those big plays, if they can maintain that efficiency, you know, I think they're going to be fine as long as they can find some answers on defense.
That's the thing, too, because a couple of things. Like, they put up the huge numbers. Running game wasn't as good as we thought, but part of it is when you're down as much as you were, you're not going to run as much. A couple of things, like, going thinking about, like, kind of, maybe I panicked, because I did, like, I'm going to do bowl projections every week, so they can be stupid or whatever you say about them. They're going to be interesting. You said don't panic. Did I panic too much by putting Hawaii in a bowl game and taking the Rams out of a bowl game?
Maybe. Yeah. Because I think, you know, even though Hawaii built up their commanding lead, I think, and our Hawaii guy, don't worry about it, Keith, he had mentioned it, you know, a couple of times throughout the second half. You know, one of the things that Hawaii is going to need to be aware of is clock management and, you know, penalties and things like that. Because, you know, everybody pointed out the fact that, you know, they had that one play in the second half where they had two punters out there, which is kind of cool, right? But they ended up wasting a timeout,
right?
They ended up wasting a timeout just because they weren't able to get the punt off. And so, you know, they were out of timeouts in the second half, I think with like 5 or 6 minutes to go. And while it ultimately didn't
come
back to haunt them.
Well, they both burned timeouts early.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the first half, they both teams did that.
Yeah, and both of these teams ended up with double-digit penalties. You know, the Rams ended up with 120 yards on penalties. You know, the Warriors ended up with 65. But, you know, it's those kinds of little things. And also, like, when they're trying to run out the clock late in the second half, especially on those last two drives, they're still taking shots down the field. And everybody's like, whoa, what are you doing? You know? And, you know, ultimately.
Yeah, because it is a run and shoot, but. Yeah.
Or like when they were down. I was going to say, like, when they were down near the goal line on second and third down, they threw the ball both times rather than trying to run and burn a little bit of the clock, or at least force the Rams to use a timeout to stop the clock. And they ended up
Mike Leach in the New Mexico Bowl?
and ultimately it didn't end up hurting them and things like that. But, you know, both teams gave you reason to hope. But at the same time, both teams gave you reason to have a little bit of pause as well. So, you know, Hawaii deserves to feel really good about going on the road. I'm trying to remember the last time they won in the Mountain Division. I think they, if I remember correctly, I mentioned this in the preview podcast, they've only won
one,
the Mountain Division
one time
once since they came to the Mountain West. So this is a big deal, but there's still work to do.
Well, there's still work to do because also without Giovanni there, the linebacker, that's going to be helpful going forward. It's because here's the thing. Again, they gave up 600 passing yards, almost 537 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. Okay, here's the thing. Like, maybe the Rams offense is the real deal. I'm still not going to buy the Hawaii defense all that much. They did fine in the first. They made some stops there. A couple things. If you have those second and third trying to burn clock, you can pass the ball and burn clock. Like I said, the shovel pass. That's a huge thing. You could actually, if you're not going to run the ball, do a wide receiver screen or do a jet sweep, something that is a quick play, basically a handoff, basically a very high percentage way to get the ball and keep it in bounds. You don't need to throw fade patterns, out patterns, go 20 yards when it's second and short. Also, while I love Rolovich not kicking sometimes and he would convert it occasionally, he's going to have to take points if they're going to be a good team when they play Fresno, San Diego State. They're going to have to get all the points they can get.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I think it's also worth mentioning, like, even though Hawaii played without Tavai on defense, you know, Colorado State was also without a few guys themselves. You know, RJ Jean apparently didn't dress because of some personal issues. And when we were talking about, you know, the two deep at running back beforehand, you know, I don't think either of us realized that Rashad Boddy and I'm trying to remember who else. Yeah, but there were two guys at running back who didn't play because of violations of team rules. So, you know, this was a Colorado State.
I guess that answers my question.
Or Marvin Kinsey, they were both suspended.
Back up.
Nah. So, okay. You know, I'm assuming
that's why they
weren't
on the depth chart. There we go.
Yeah. And so this was a Colorado State offense that set records, at least for a debut, without all of the guys at their disposal.
So, really quick, before we move on to the next game, was there a big issue with Bobo not being in practice a week and being in a booth for plays? Do you think that was a huge impact?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know that I necessarily buy into those kinds of things myself, personally. I think it just came down to, you know, maybe a handful of plays that were very subtle, that inability to finish drives in the first half that, you know, put them in a hole that just wasn't, you know, they weren't able to climb out of it. Because, I mean, you know, they got second quarter, for instance, you know, they got across midfield, I think, at least once or twice, but they didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I would say more of an energy type thing. I don't know if it made up maybe 3 more points. Who knows? It's part of it too. It's like they're a creature of a habit. The coach is usually on the sideline. He sees the game from that angle. So I don't buy a ton, but it's going to make it for a little bit of a difference, but not enough to say that's why they lost. That's all I'm saying. It's just a little bit of a they have their game plan exactly what they want to do. And so when your head coach is up in the booth and he's not on the sideline, it's just a little different. That's all I'm saying. There's very minimal impact, but it's a little bit different just because he's not on the sideline. So let's do this real quick before we move to the next game. What you said, the extremes. So is this the Hawaii start off this good? Are they just going to get better than this, you think, after they, because maybe we overvalue the Rams. Like, where do you see Hawaii? Is this a team? Because I picked them to win no games in the conference, which is clearly wrong already. And you picked
them fifth
in the conference, just above six. Right?
I did. I was making jokes on Twitter earlier this morning that, you know, they might be the next team that I predicted to win 2 games to win the division instead. Yeah, but I mean, all of a sudden, they look a lot more interesting, especially against the teams that they're going to have to face in non-conference play. Because, you know, next week, they're, you know, at home versus Navy.
Maybe.
which huge contrast to styles, like even more so than against Colorado State. And then, of course, you know, they host Rice, and then they go to Army. And Army's a pretty good team, but, you know, all of a sudden, things are looking a little bit rosier, I think, with the non-conference slate, where those matchups against run-heavy teams, you know, if they can get Tavai back, if they can continue to be as explosive as they were in this game, you know, I think they had like five plays of over 20 yards. If they can keep that up, you know, and even if McDonald isn't playing out of his mind week in and week out, you know, if he can, you know, complete 60% of his passes, and, you know, with the stable of receivers that, you know, now they're, you know, vote of confidence in, on their part, things are getting really interesting by the time conference play rolls around. Let's put it that way.
I'm going to be super optimistic here, which is people can laugh and say you're stupid. But here's the thing. Look at the you mentioned non-conference schedule. Navy, that's a home game. I think that's winnable, tough but winnable. Rice, New York, and Prairie View, A&M. Going to Army, again, that's probably the most toss-up game. They legitimately could win every non-conference game. Navy,
I think there's a chance.
Home. Yeah, that's what I said. Chance. Rice at home. Army's good, but they're not. They're not going to be ranked. They're not going to be like 4-0. I don't know their schedule, but they're not going to. They did beat the Aztecs last year, so you give them that credit clearly. But they're not like a team where if they lose, okay, it's maybe a little downer from what we see now. But it's a team that's a winnable game. Duquesne, they should win. Even BYU, they're still struggling, and who knows what they're going to be. Those are all what we saw week one. I know I'm overreaching, and it's one game. I shouldn't read into it too much. But why can't they go, honestly, 5-0 in non-conference play? They could beat San Jose State. Seriously, are they? Am I out of line saying they could be 5-0 when they host Wyoming in October?
I'm not going to get carried away.
They could be Bill Allen. But aren't they all those games are winnable, right? Now, from what we've seen in week one, if they're somewhat close to this?
I mean, I think you're setting kind of high expectations for this team now.
I know. I'm overreaching, but, like that's obviously I can't say it's more the best case scenario because that's it, but like they should beat Rice even before we knew how good this offense would be or bad. I pegged Rice as a win and Duquesne as a win. I believe I did. So two wins, okay. If they're still the same, that's three wins. Say they split Army Navy, four wins or 4-1. They could be 5-1, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, there we go. So we're way off, and I'm bottom one, right?
There's a possibility. My bold prediction is that they're going to be entertaining as hell to watch over the next month. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, look at this game. You know, a game I'm looking forward to real quick. October 20th, hosting Nevada over under 100 points. Give it to me.
Oh. Well, we'll wait and see. Let's let them get through non-conference play first, but. It is a big win regardless, and it makes them a lot more interesting to follow now.
Have you filled out your power ranking for this week yet?
I have.
Where did you put Hawaii at?
I think I put them eighth or ninth. I can't.
Oh, eighth.
Which.
I think I put them sixth. I wanted to bump them up, but not too much. They're behind Wyoming, like Boise, Fresno. I think I put them just above UNLV. So it's obviously Boise, San Diego State, Fresno State, Utah State, and Wyoming. So I have them six.
Hmm.
So I figured, I don't want to overstate, oh, they're number one, whatever, but I just put them there because I figured they're, six. Okay. I'm just curious to see how high you had them up there. All right, so let's go to the next game. Do you like defense, Matt?
Oh, I like defense. I like this Wyoming especially.
The announcers are fawning all over themselves over this game. This Wyoming defense, okay, they didn't qualify. The best defense line in Group of Five, I'm like, please. They could have four guys in the NFL draft. They could have, like, half their defense be in the NFL one day. This current roster, close to half, right?
New Mexico State wasn't ready for this defense.
They were not ready, and, no, they were not. After the first drive or two, where it was back and forth, the game got a little dull in the middle sections because – I was watching most of this morning because I went to a movie last night. Sorry, I missed the game live, folks. It's okay. But I watched it this morning. I'm like, okay, 9-0, 15. It's like the stranglehold of the Fresno San Diego State game a couple years ago, just about.
Mm-hmm.
However, Nico Evans, nearly So Brad Foster over at TheTrib.com and Casper Star Tribune, he's like, first 200-yard rusher since Brian Hill. Well, Nico Evans lost a few yards down to 190. But still, two touchdowns, 190, and also Tyler Vanderwall, number one pick. He completed over 60% of his passes.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just Evans, though. I mean, let's not – I mean, as a team, the trio of Evans, Javon Bigelow, and Xavier Ballade, over 300 yards. That is a huge step in the right direction for a team that, you know, we talked about it in the preview. They had the worst running game in the conference last year. And, you know, if, you know, that offensive line can continue creating holes like they did, you know, all three of those guys were showing a lot of power too. And that is the kind of thing that's going to benefit them when they come to conference play. I think this was like the first time maybe in 2 years that we saw what kind of team this wants to be. They want to run between the tackles and they want to be efficient in the passing game. And, you know, New Mexico State, I still think they're going to be an okay team. I don't think they're going to fall back to the kind of team that they were 2 or 3 years ago. But there's no doubt that they came in and, you know, this was a test and they passed it with flying colors.
They did because, when the biggest story I had when I chatted with the guy from Underdog Dynasty the other day on previewing the game, New Mexico State's offensive line has like 40 career starts back from 4 of the 5 guys. And that was their biggest strength. And we knew the Wyoming front defense line would be a challenge, clearly, because it has great players, like Carl Granderson and other players out there on that line. And so we figured it would be an equalizer, be about the same, where that helped the Mexico State rushing game. Yeah, they lost Larry Royce, great rusher. They minus 9 yards on the day. I know it's mostly sack yards, but Jason Huntley, 22 yards. That's it, along with 8. There was like one or two plays. That was the only area there was concern. And Pro Football Focus said this New Mexico State defense is really good. It didn't show up in this game because I said like the same thing. What we know what Wyoming wants to do. Run the ball reasonably well, pass efficiently. That's what I said. If their offense, it couldn't be worse than last year, and they're not going to be worse than last year. Tyler Vanderwall did well enough. No picks. Good job. 0-137, didn't need to throw that much. He was 15-22. He's efficient. And so he got the ball to like Austin Fort, 2 for 51, tight end. Sorry, no touch for touchdown ratio this year, but we'll see for Fort, 1 for 1. But he threw it to 13 receptions, obviously, to about 8-9 guys. He spread the ball around. Rocket Ismail Jr. had 2 for 10. Austin did okay. They did well enough. That's all they need to do. Like, if they were to score 29 points a game, they'd play every game this year.
Yeah, I mean, if they score 29 points a game, I'm probably going to be super wrong about my prediction for them this year. And, I mean, it wasn't even, you know, the guys who showed up on the stat sheet. Like, even someone like James Price, for instance. Like, he only had 2 targets, but he didn't have any catches. But, you know, on the 2 attempts that he got, or at least one that I can recall off the top of my head, you know, it was a deep shot down the field that Vanderwall didn't miss him by much. And he was open. And so if that pass had been on target, it probably would have been 6 points. And, you know, if he can show that, you know, if he can show that he's consistent, you know, as far as being a deep threat is concerned, you know, he's going to be a huge asset because that wasn't necessarily something they had all the time last year. And, you know, even though Johanna Guyton, for instance, only had, you know, credited for 2 tackles and half a tackle for loss, it seemed like he was blowing up plays like every other play. And like everybody was talking about how terrifying he was in the middle of that defense. And it was literally like everybody on that 2-deep along the offensive line, not just Guyton and Granderson, but like, you know, Sidney Malaulu had a tackle and a half for loss. You know, Kevin Prosser had a tackle for loss. Trey Woods, who just got moved to the defensive line, had a sack. Garrett Kroll had a sack. So, you know, that's 5 or 6 guys right there who were just making plays. And, you know, you had pointed out on Twitter, you know, was the number of tackles that they made, like, was that legit? And it was like, yeah, because Mexico only ran, how many plays did they run? Like 49? 49 plays the entire game.
Here's the thing. I look at ESPN stats sometimes. I'm like, here's the discrepancy. I'm like, because sometimes they're incorrect because it happens. And so, but Wyoming, 39 total tackles. Mexico State, 122. And like, that's a huge difference. But the amount of plays they ran was they passed the ball 33 times, ran it 16 more. what's that, 50 plays?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. You're not, I mean, it's just the difference is huge. And, well, I mean, if we're there, the passing, like, downfield, I just wanted to get up. This game, they couldn't move the ball. They okay. Drew Dan did reasonably well, but they, even though they had, like, they themselves, they had 5 TFLs. That's pretty good. Like, they were a couple QB hurries. They did a few things nice, but their defense, yeah, 29 points, a couple, what, how many field goals was there? 3 field goals in this game? 2? A pair of field goals.
I think Rose ended up with 2 field goals, yeah.
Yeah, 2 field goals. It's a team game where, like, I kind of figured one would win, but I figured, I was kind of joking, 10-7. It felt like that during the middle of the game, like the middle of the, it was just kind of a slow build, a chokehold, like I said before. They just kept touchdown, field goal, the safety, obviously, we didn't mention that by Carl Granderson. But you're right, like, the defensive numbers, like, who are, like, 6 tackles, 4 tackles, 3 tackles. It didn't matter. They end up with 6.5 TFLs, 3 sacks, a safety, 6 pass deflections. It's like, Gaffney getting in the backfield making the plays, but they have Andrew Wingard coming in, or have Tyler Hall come in to make the solo tackle.
I mean, let's put it this way. New Mexico State got nearly 2/3 of their offensive production on 3 plays.
Yeah, was that the 31-yard pass and the 21-yard pass? Or yeah, the 31, 12, and 18-yard pass, right? Those plays?
Yep, that was it.
Was there any – do you want to see anything more of Wyoming – and all because they were okay on third down conversion, 8 of 18. 4 penalties for 60, that's okay. Somehow the Mexico State had 12 for 57 yards. No turnovers forced. Time of possession was nuts, 40 to 17, 41 to 17, 18, somewhere in that range. But I guess, what would you want to see better? More, a little bit better passing game, a little bit? Is that about all, really?
I mean, I don't think so because, like I said at the beginning, I think this is the kind of offense that they're going to want to have this year. You know, the offense that just kind of wears you down, but has enough playmakers, you know, to be able to be a threat down the field if need be.
So where did you put Wyoming in your rankings as we kind of wrap this episode up here?
I think I had him, I wish I had saved a copy of it. I think I had him like 4th or 5th. I moved him up a little more than I moved Hawaii just because, you know, with all the questions that we talked about leading into the season, at least for 1 week, they answered them about as emphatically as you could have asked for.
Did we overrate New Mexico State maybe a little bit?
I don't think so because I don't think we expected New Mexico State to be like a world beater, but I do think we expected them to be, you know, as competitive as they were last year. You know, and you know, take, you know, they still do have those playmakers on their defense. It's just, you know, I think Wyoming's, you know, the questions that they had on the offensive line have quieted it down for at least for now. And, you know, they were able to beat them between the tackles on the running game, you know, maybe in a way that they didn't often see last year. So, I mean, I mm-hmm. still expect them to compete for bowl eligibility, but this, you know, it's a good win for Wyoming because I think they're going to end up being a pretty decent thing with the team when all is said and done.
Mm-hmm. Here's my ranking real quick. I struggled between Utah State and Wyoming. I go, nothing changed for the top. Like Boise, Fresno, San Diego State. I was debating Wyoming over Utah State, but I put Utah State at 4 because mm-hmm. people are convincing me their running game is supposed to be really good. And so why not? It's the first game here. And also, quick side note, we've had about most of our staff put the rankings in here. So I'm trying, it goes by color code. Actually, I'm going to pull up the spreadsheet here, but there are apparently 4 different number one votes this week. If you can believe it, is that there as of right now? It's going to be Boise State. You have dark green San Diego State as the first place votes. Did somebody put? I think somebody put Hawaii number one. I can't tell.
Well, I mean, they are let me get my conference. I mean, they have a conference under their belt.
Here's what we have here. Here's why I'd be okay with that because when I used to do the blog poll, whatever, top 25, or I'll do it as underdog poll as well for a UDD. I would put, if you played a game and you didn't play an FCS team, I'd rank you up high. If you played some FCS team, I'm like, I don't care. You got to prove something. Even because my preseason could be like, let's just say we're going to finish here, but let's say Boise State's my number one team right now. Had they played Weber State or UC Davis or Cal Poly, I would drop them probably out of my rankings because, heck, you beat a crappy team. I don't care how good you're supposed to be. I'm not going to rank you to your schedule. Yeah, week two, you play Oklahoma State, beat them. Okay, boom, shoot them back up. So we have here, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I'll give a sneak peek now. We have a Boise number one, a Fresno, Hawaii, and a Wyoming. We have two people putting Hawaii and Wyoming in their top two. And it was a Wyoming 3, and then a Hawaii 4. So they're getting some cred for Deese for playing well and moving up quite a bit. Nobody has them. As of right now, there is – oh, somebody did put CSU last, so there's that. I'm guessing they're 0-1, right?
I think
the lowest
probably...
there is for Hawaii probably what? Are we done here? Do we go past our time?
I was going to say, I think we probably know who was ranking Colorado State last. I have one last question for you. And then we'll
yes, we do. You'll know who that is.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to turn your question about Hawaii back on you for a moment. How much better do you feel about Wyoming's chances to go undefeated in conference play?
Conference or non-conference?
Non-conference play, excuse me.
I should have the schedule up here. So they opened up. They got.
So
I am very excited.
Next
Washington
week,
State
yeah.
host.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking to Jeff Neuser this week at KookCenter.com. Or is it Cougar Center or Kook Center? Did you Washington State stuff for SB Nation? I've done it. Kook Center, sorry. I also know a Cougar Center. But KookCenter.com. I'm going to chat with him this week as a few other opponents. I've known him quite a while. That not as much as Hawaii because. Because this will be a huge test. Washington State, we know what they want to do with Mike Leach, throw the ball a ton. We'll see. At Missouri, similar offense. What they want to do, pass the ball around, play kind of wide. I would give them – I still kind of think 2-2, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were to beat Washington State. I'm more confident – let me put it this way. I'm more confident in Hawaii somehow and going 5-0 in non-conference play than I am Wyoming going 4-0. However, I wouldn't be shocked to be Washington State next week. It's at home. It's a defense is tough. At Missouri is a tough one. But I'm going to say they're going to get 3 wins in non-conference play.
All right.
What about you?
I mean, I think you can't help but feel a little more optimistic now. Just because, you know, we kind of know what to expect from Wazoo. And your conversation will probably confirm a lot of what I'm thinking right now. But, I mean... they're still trying to replace, you know, some very key components on their offense, you know, so if Wyoming's defense is up to the task, you know, they may be able to pull an upset at home if the odds are against them in that regard. And, you know, same thing with Missouri. I think Missouri is going to be led by their offense, but, you know, if the defense is as good as it was, you know, nothing says that they can't disrupt them. And then, you know, home versus Wofford, that's probably a win. So,
it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their non-conference slate is more difficult than Hawaii's, but, you know, I don't think you can discount that possibility now if both sides of the ball continue to play as well as they did yesterday.
Yeah, and also going to Washington State, get a pass rush, take, you know what I mean, just get your hands up. They have 6-speed pass breakups in this game. Imagine how they can do if they get those guys breaking through the line. And the secondary is good as well. Wingard's all second-team All-American. They have Marcus Epps back there. They have the talent. It's just how deep is that secondary? We'll get to later, but how deep can they go to take on 4 or 5 wideouts most of the game instead of, say, 2 or 3, which is how this weekend.
Yeah. It's not going to be easy, but that defense is going to be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, good weekend. Here's a couple things on the site. I have my stupid bowl picks. Did you say you think Hawaii Bowl could be bowl team at the moment earlier, right? Maybe?
Maybe.
Close, okay. I committed today, and this will be out every week.
Okay.
I'm going to do quarterback rankings. So now that I have no names, I'm going to do one despite, even though there's only 3 teams played, I'm going to do update that because some were TBD on there, like especially Hawaii. For sure, I think even Wyoming, we didn't know when I did these back in like May or early June. So we'll update that. We'll have our power rankings out this week. We'll have some fun stuff. I'm going to do 3 other podcasts, some mini episodes with the like Washington State guys, the Colorado guys, one of the guys over at Spartans Wire from Michigan State, with Utah State this weekend. So a handful of those, plus our typical preview, cross my fingers, get the tech issues fixed. We can make this be awesome next time what we normally do. Anything else to add, Matt? Are we good?
Well, we should probably mention to subscribe to the podcast anywhere you can. Pocket Casts, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Be sure to rate and review us, all that good stuff, especially now that we're back in football mode. We would definitely appreciate that, even if you hate the audio quality on this particular episode.
I'm sorry, folks. I apologize. Hey, this is where this happens. Blame me, who lost a charger to my MacBook, bought a new charger, bought the wrong type, and then my backup Chromebook did not like to cooperate with my microphone, so I'm using Bluetooth speakers now. So, yeah, you get what you get this week. Guess what? Can we call the dress rehearsal before week one begins?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, I think we're done. But you got to hit end of your end on your
Yeah, well, I'll just, you know, make sure to remind folks, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, MWC Wire, MWWire.com. If you're looking for some interesting, cool offers on things like magazines, food, you know, internet streaming for those week one matchups.
Yes, Fubo. We had like nearly 1,000 people go to that link to just check out the offer. So thank you.
Just be sure to visit.
I did myself. Yes, check it out.
Yeah, MWCWire.com is where all you're going to find all those offers. But I think we're just about up against it, so we should probably wrap this up.
All right, folks. We'll see you next time. We'll be back probably sometime Wednesday in your podcast feed. We'll see you then.